Mondays, I co-facilitate one of the support groups, which ends at 8:30 p.m. I'm tuckered out once I get home and sleep easily afterward. The next day flies by also, and after work, it is time for me to pick up the girls at their daycare. Heavy snow carpets the ground, and I agree to drive an elderly Filipino foster grandma home on the way to the daycare so she won't be stuck waiting outside for the city bus. She inquires politely about my marital status, offering me her oldest son. "What you need is a nice Filipino man," she says and chuckles. I smile back, enjoying her hard pee on the word Filipino, but keep my focus on the slippery road ahead. My old Ford sedan wobbles when braking, and the back of the car fishtails twice before we arrive at our destination. My passenger stays in the idling car while I go inside the daycare to retrieve the girls. I go to Meredith's class, but don't find her. Maybe she's waiting in Marianthe's classroom. I go there and don't find either of them. The daycare director shrugs when I inquire at the front office. He didn't come by today. Didn't call either. Strange. My stomach churns. This is more than strange. Gregory knows the visitation routine well, and in the past he has enjoyed keeping us guessing about whether or not he would arrive to pick up the girls, but he's rarely late to return them. I'm distracted as I drive my passenger home. She continues to prattle on about her son, and I nearly push her out the door when we arrive at her apartment. As soon as I get home, I call Gregory. No answer. I call again, and again, and again. And I wait. Finally, an hour later, I call police and report the girls missing. The dispatcher gives me a lukewarm reception and asks me how long the girls have been missing. 2 hours or more, I tell her. Not long enough to evoke this panicked response, I imagine she's thinking. And why haven't I gone and checked his house myself? That's a natural question that begs a few answers, which I'll save for the responding officer. Half an hour later, an officer responds. Officer Ganzel is a hair past middle age, and his casual demeanor tells me he has seen much in his career. He is initially unmoved by my panic. "Ma'am, he is the father. He probably just lost track of time. Can't you just agree to let him keep the girls a little longer?" Allegations of international child abduction are not part of the daily diet of a beat cop in Anchorage, Alaska, and it shows. I have to convince him that I am not a spiteful former spouse trying to screw her ex out of time with the kids. My relationship with my ex-husband isn't typical. He threatened to take the girls and leave the country before. I have no reason to think he would do the right thing. He looks at me blankly. "Check your records," I continue. "I've gotten restraining orders in the past." It takes some coaxing, but he looks a little further. I tell the officer of Gregory and my volatile relationship in marriage and afterward, including all the provisions made in our divorce to prevent the abduction he has repeatedly threatened. "He's just discontinued his supervised visits," I tell him. "He's not even allowed to take the girls out of state until next year, and even then it has to be with my written permission. I'm supposed to get a copy of the itinerary in advance. He can take them to Greece with my permission after that, so long as he's posted a big fat bond that I can cash in if he attempts to not to return with them. He's even posted on the children's passport issuance alert system." Okay, he says, "let me make a few calls, all right?" Using his connections at a Greek-owned deli he frequents, Officer Ganzel calls a renowned entrepreneur in the Greek community who dresses like Liberace and keeps his businesses listed in other people's names. He tells the officer to call Dorothy Paul, an elderly former coworker of Gregory's who is now Gregory's landlord. The call is brief, and he hangs up the phone smiling. "Your ex-husband is simply moving across town to a new place," he says, clearly pleased with himself. "See, it's not so bad. The landlady's husband gave me a new address for him. The phone's probably not even connected yet, but he gave me the number of a friend of his to chat with." I want to believe him, but I know better. Gregory would never accidentally look over such a detail. If he were moving, I would know about it in advance, unless he was up to something shady. There has to be more to this story. Officer Gansel's third phone call is equally brief, but now his smile fades. He places the phone back on the receiver and says nothing for a couple of beats. I watch him, processing the new information he won't share as the color drains from his face. I hate to say this, he says finally, inhaling deeply, but you may be right. There are allegations now that your husband flew out of Alaska 2 days ago with the girls. Your daughters are with him in Greece.